Without further ado, let's, if you can, let's open our Bible in Numbers chapter 14, and then in Joshua chapter 14. I'd like to speak about the lessons from the life of Caleb, and I'm not sure if how many of us here are familiar with the name Caleb, or who is he, and obviously he's not one of the like most seen or spoken of in terms of heroes in the Bible, but he's one of the, for me especially, we are going through the book of Joshua right now in our congregation in Analachir, and we've just been looking at his life for this Sunday and this week, and I'd like just to share something about who is Caleb, and what did he do, why. There's lots of lessons, and I'm going to share about 3 points about his life. Then I'll end up just by really encouraging us to have those three, I think, phenomenon traits or characteristics of Caleb's life. Or it's just amazing to know that that guy has been used by God, how God has been blessing him, and how God brought his life from out of Egypt into the land that God has promised to Israel. So let's read from Numbers chapter 14 and then verse 20 to 24. Then we'll read in Joshua chapter 14. So let's read the one in Numbers. Then the Lord said, "I have pardoned according to your word. But truly, as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and yet have put me to the test these 10 times, and have not obeyed my voice, shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers, and none of those who despised me shall see it, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I'll bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it." I'll just read again verse 24. "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I'll bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it." Then let's read in Joshua chapter 14, from verse 6 until verse 14. "Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God in Kadesh Barnea, concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. Not sure if there's someone here now who's 85 years old, but the story began when he was 40 years old. And now he's remembering what God has promised him 45 years ago when he was 85 in this story. Like, the Lord has kept me. So let's continue reading. "I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now, give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said. Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenazite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. When I read the story about this Caleb, and when I think about his life, about who God was to him, what did he do, and just the story behind everything, I'm just amazed at how faithful God is, and how can God, like, God is using just mere human beings, just like me and you. And just a bit of who Caleb is, just to put us into the picture. There was a time the Israelites were under the slavery of Egypt. So they were being set free from Egypt, and all that generation was the same generation as Caleb was. Then they went into wilderness, and if you read the Bible, if you know a little bit of the story of the Israelites, there's lots of ups and downs, or rather, shall I say, there's many downs than up. And it's just been amazing at how gracious God is to this nation. And there was a time when God said to Moses to spy out the land that God has promised to the Israelites. He sent out 12 spies. And when Moses sent those 12 people, only two of them came back with a good report, which means with a good hope that that's really the land that God has given to us. And 10 of them basically said, no, the Lord has brought us here to kill us. There's no hope in terms of where we are going. Rather, why didn't we just stay back in Egypt under slavery? And that was the people's hearts. But Caleb was one of those two guys. One was Joseph, and one was Joshua, and one was Caleb. And then as the stories goes, we'll see that these two guys really had a specific spirit in them, as the scripture that we just read. They had a different type of mindset. They had a different way of seeing things. And I was amazed on why did they have that type of spirit? What happened? Because if I was in there, I was living in their time, I wouldn't think I would be one of the two. I think I would be one of the many people that we're seeing, that we faced something there. There are giants there. There's no ways we're going to take that land. Because most of the time when we read the Bible, it's very easy to put us as we are the heroes of the story. But actually we're not. We're always on the other side of it. And if we are just honest unto ourselves, I think we'll be amongst the crowds and the people. But why did Caleb have a different spirit? What did he do? Why? And I think I'll go back to that question later on, but I will rather say to change the question from what did he do into what did he have? Because it's easy for us as human beings, like I'm going to speak about 3 points now. So, okay, he did this, and then he had this, and then he had this. So let me have those so that I can be like Caleb. There's no hope in that. And my point is to really see what did he have from God. And I think I'll go back later on in terms of he had a different spirit, him and Joshua. So just excuse me for a second. I've just forgotten my notes. Because without notes and with many mumbling, there won't be any preaching. So my first point is, Caleb saw, you guys can go to the next slide, Caleb saw what God saw. That was the first thing I think Caleb had, one of his specific nature with that spirit that God has given unto him. Caleb saw what God saw. He was one of the 12 that chose to see what God has promised, not what the majority saw. And especially for us, if you are local or if you've been living in Madagascar for a long time, you'll know something about that first point, that fear of men. But what do the people say? But what do my family say? But what is the, for you missionaries, you might say, like, but what is the culture? Well, what is the culture? I don't want to offend the culture. But I think there's some wisdom in what do the people say? What do my family say? What do the culture say? But not above God. What does God say? What is he saying? What has he promised? Because he saw what God saw. Then in that same point, he allowed the promises of God to prevail while facing the realities. I think there's a certain kind of line sometimes when we speak about seeing what God is seeing, especially with, I like faith, I know God has given us faith, and I know the word of God is bringing faith into his people. But sometimes when we use the word faith nowadays in our Christianity, we tend to be a liar. For instance, most of the examples that I use when we speak about the promises of God and allowing God's promise to be fruitful and to hold on to God's promises, sometimes we tend to lie. We don't want to speak about the realities. But actually, God's word is there for the realities. Like the example that I want to bring on is about, let's say, healing. If I am sick, and sometimes we do not ask God to heal us, and when we face that reality, we kind of, no, I'm sick now and I've been praying unto God for a long time. Maybe he's not healing us. Maybe he's not healing me. He's not answering my prayers. So what is God's promises in that time? And I know, I believe in God's sovereignty. God wants to heal. God's desires to heal us. And I know sometimes God doesn't heal. God is not obliged. But I still believe in healing. God is the healer. And sometimes people lie about those things. Either someone will say, no, God is not the healer because he didn't heal me. No, he is always the healer. And sometimes we lie by saying, like, especially amongst what's so-called faith movement, when we say, like let's say I am sick, and because what I say is the truth, and what I must say the word of God, then sometimes when you've been taught under that faith movement, you tend to always lie, like, even if I am sick, I mustn't say I'm sick. I am healed. But isn't that lying? I mean, if I'm sick, then what should I say? The reality is I am sick. Oh, how can I ask God to heal me if I'm not even saying, God, please heal me? But meantime, I'm saying, I am healed. I call that lying. And sometimes we twist the scripture, like we use Abraham, and in Romans 4, like Abraham did call what Abraham was saying what didn't exist, not saying what exists. Abraham spoke what didn't come into being. What Abraham did call what didn't exist yet into being, not calling what existed into not existing. What I'm saying is, like, if I'm sick, I should just say, I am sick, and God, please heal me. And that's one of Caleb's strength. He was holding onto God's promises in his life, no matter what the reality is. That is what Caleb did. And that's the first thing, is Caleb saw what God saw. Then secondly, Caleb was humble. When you speak about humility, what would be the first thing that comes to us? What is it? And I know it is famous nowadays, especially with Facebook. There's lots of little sentences and mottos and famous quotes and so on. But I really, one of those things that I really do believe in terms of being humble is it's not thinking about ourselves lesser, but it's really thinking about ourselves as nothing. And I think that's true humility. And that was Caleb's position. That was who he is. If we speak about that history, that there were two guys from those generation who will enter Canaan. That was Caleb and Joshua. But God said to Moses that Joshua would be the successor to Moses. And what did Caleb do? What did he do? He was filled with jealousy. I was like, God, why Joshua, not me? I am Caleb. Didn't you remember I'm one of them? Or at least let me and Joshua fight. Because me too, I want to be the leader. Especially nowadays, being the leader is kind of, that's the most important things. Even in our Christian church circle, to be the leader, to be the pastor is like, there's nothing like that. But with Caleb, he didn't fight for position. He was secure enough in whom God has made him. He was secure in who God is. With that same point, the next, though he did much, he was not seen much. If we read that story, the name of Moses and Joshua would be repeated often. But Caleb's name was mentioned, I think, Numbers 23 or 26, and then you'll see his name again in Joshua chapter 14. And where was he all of those times? Didn't he do nothing? No, I'm sure he was there. I'm sure he was fighting. I'm sure he did his part. But he did not, I'm sure he did not care about his name being mentioned. And that's, to me, as being part of in a sense, being in a leadership of a team, sometimes it's like, God, I want to be like Caleb. That remind me sometimes, it's not about me, it's about you. It's about what you're doing. And my identity in you does not depend on whom the people think I am or whom I think I am, but it's actually just doing my part, small or big. He was humble. He was secure in what God has for him, not what God has for others. I think our biggest fear when it comes to humility is like, we want to be something, want to be someone. I think that's part of who we are. We want to be someone. We want to be like, at least I want to do something. And there's nothing bad in that. But there's something bad when it comes out of an unsecured heart. When it comes of, I want to gain more identity, or I want to be seen, or being proud. Or it's not healthy. And it will destroy us one day. Then the last point is, I can go to the next slide. Caleb was patient. I think speaking about patience in itself, I'll be the first guy to point at. I'm not patient at all. And when I read this story, I was a bit laughing, because what did Caleb had in mind? What did he see? If we put ourselves in the shoes of Caleb, would really understand why he was patient, or we would value patience and perseverance. I always, I think a few years back, 10 years back, we went into a youth camp, and someone spoke about Caleb and Joshua. And they were saying about amongst the generation that were living with them, only both of them would live to see the promised land. What does that mean? That means that their friends, their family, their loved ones, they saw them dying in front of their eyes. They saw them. And that's actually a bit depressing and frustrating. Like you see, you'll have a friend, and then your friend who's been fighting with you or who's been always there for you, you'll pass away. You know that he's not going to enter the land, but only you and Joshua. And he gave me this picture that really stuck into my mind. He said, like, what do you think Caleb and Joshua did while their friend were dying? Do you think they were like us as Malagasy's? Like, we'll take 3 days for a funeral? Or even worse, for some other culture, a month? Were they crying and mourning? Oh my God, my God. I want to follow them too. Or did, were they in such despair? Or they said to me, like the picture that he saw, and I think that is true, is he had Caleb had his sword in his hand. He was sitting down and he was busy sharpening his sword. What did he have in mind? He's going to go kill those giants. For how long did he sharpen his sword? For 40 years. Can you see that in your head? For 40 years. What are you doing, Caleb? I'm going to kill people with this sword. What are you speaking? You're not even going there. No, I'm going to kill those giants. What's your job, Caleb? Sharpening iron. Don't you see? You're not going to use it. No, I'm going to use it. That's called patience. Doing the same thing over and over and over again. Even speaking about that, even maybe about patience. Like, we are in a so consumeristic culture. For how long should we go to church on Sunday? For how long? Even before I was a Christian, my dad brought me to church. There was a time I didn't want to go at all. But the Sunday evening came, Monday morning came. We used to have a family kind of meeting, and my dad would encourage us to read scripture. But on Monday morning, it was specific, and I knew, and he would always ask something. What was the preaching yesterday at church? What he wanted to know is, were you there? And did you attend the meeting? And did you listen? So I think our life as a Christian is forged through patience and perseverance. But Caleb had that in his bones, in his life. He was persevering. He waited for 40 years. He waited for another 5 years before he got his inheritance. When we read what was happening in Joshua, like, he was 85 years old. Imagine, like, now we're on the promised land. Where is mine? Where is that? Where is that land that Moses has promised to give me? He didn't even went to, before that, he didn't even went once to Joshua. Like, Joshua, think about me now. Don't you know me? I was always there for you. Now you're just waiting for your fame, Joshua. I'm not going to follow you. I'm going to rebel. No, he was waiting 40 years and then an extra 5 years. And then when he knew it was time, then he asked Joshua, remember, this is what Moses has promised. And now it's mine. Can you give it to me? Then Joshua gave Hebron unto Caleb. He got his inheritance. And even there, I'm sure, like, for some of us, it just felt like that's part of who we are. For us, as, like, let's say, if you work in a Christian organization or missionary or pastors like me, I think this we feel that every day. Sometimes we add this pressure because I'm writing a project to fundraise. And sometimes there's this kind of a pressure where when you address to your donors and then you kind of, like, you want to put big numbers in there. Then I had this friend from South Africa and he told me, like, you know what? Sometimes we overestimate what God can do in 1 year, but we do underestimate what God can do in 10 years. And that's true. Sometimes because just to get the money, it's like, let me write this, and this is, it's so exciting. And then we don't really tell, sometimes we tend even to lie. I call them, like, sorry for this statement, but I call them, like, they say numbers like evangelists. Knowing when you, this evangelist, when you ask them, how many people did give their life to Jesus? It was 1,000, man. They all were raising their hands. And then the next Sunday, how many people is new here? Come on, raise your hand. And of course, the new converts, they are shy to raise their hands. You don't even know how many. But that's a pressure. And sometimes we just have to persevere in terms of telling the truth. And if God has called me for this, I say to myself, I must just stay and be realistic with what I need to propose out there. Because I don't want to manipulate the people. And I don't even want to play in the game numbers. I just want to do what would be the product, what is the kind of estimate or do. I'm even sometimes just to do small and watch what will happen in 10 years. Being patient. And that was who Caleb is. And now I think the thing is, like, if we were just looking at Caleb's life like that, okay, I want to be like Caleb. I want to be humble. Okay, what's the next thing? I want to see what God saw. And what's the other one? He was patient. Okay, so must be perseverant. Then we all can just say, okay, I must be humble. Okay, I must see what God is seeing. I must be patient. Must persevere. Then doesn't that sound more like a principle and just that principle? And I think I would ask the question now, how many of you who had followed points in your lives has really seen the result that you were expecting? Because sometimes we tend to make of our lives based on principles. Even the way we treat ourselves and the way we treat others is really based on principles. And I think we are failing. Because principles sometimes doesn't work. And even sometimes you will see people who are following certain sets of principles, but they do not bear the fruit that they think they do deserve because they had certain principles. And I think I would put a pressure on us all if I say, okay, see what God is seeing. How? Must I get a new pair of glasses? Be humble. How? So be humble is, okay, you go first. No, you go first. You go first. Do you want some coffee? Okay, if you don't want, I'll take it. Okay, take it. No. So be humble. And let's persevere. How long? It's like I'm not sure if you've had this question been asked to you, but we sing often like, how great is our God? But then one of the guys said to me, but the big question is, how great is great? So when we speak about perseverance, how long? For how long? Because it won't be the same. Like, I've just had, I think, a season this year. I really, like, I've never been blessed than this year. And I hope it will be double next year. Just in terms of, just God's providence, and even sometimes not providence, but I would say, like, more than what I've asked, God has given unto me. And I know God is bringing, like, God is treating us differently, even in terms of times. But we must persevere and must be patient. But even if we persevere, how? Is the motivation right? Is it just a formula, like, I must just persevere because I want to inherit what God has for me? I think it must flow out of that scripture. Caleb had a different spirit. And let me just, to summarize it, just go into that different spirit. What spirit did he have? Because obviously, all of them, the Israelites that God took out of Egypt, into the wilderness, and then to Joshua and Caleb, on to the promised land. In a sense, they are a picture of the church, of the elected of God, the one that God has chosen, God has saved, and they went with God. They had the Spirit of God. If you put it into the context of the New Testament and the New Covenant, they all had the Spirit of God. But what does a different spirit means? And I think my first description would be, what if Caleb was a picture of Christ? What if when God sent Caleb on earth, what report did he brought back to God? Did he say, God, I know you are going to save, for God so loved the world, But I promise you, God, if you were on earth, you wouldn't love these people. Eh? I know there's inheritance, but God, you don't know their sin. You do not know. I think, Caleb, there is a picture of Christ. He was seeing our sins, but then, as we just sang, you are stronger than our sins. He knew the realities of our sins, but he faced it, he defeated it, and he inherited life. That is Christ, like Caleb, who went into the promised land. I think most of us here would know that you is something of inheritance that you got for yourself. Why? Because Jesus did it for you, for all of us. Because I'm sure it's a pressure for us if you just follow according to what Caleb has done. I tell you, we are sinners. Even when we do good things, we do it with the wrong motives. But if you base it upon who Christ is and what he has done, and then from the new heart that Christ has given to me, I will now see what God is showing unto me. I will now be humble because he's given me a new heart. It's not about me anymore. He saved me. I am safe in his hand. I'm now going to persevere because I know the one who has called me because of that new heart. And that's the way. We're not Caleb at all. Jesus is the good and better Caleb. And then, of course, when we're born again, is when you gave your life unto Jesus, like when you surrender, you believe in him as your Savior. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 13, when you heard the gospel, when you heard the word that saved you, what does it say? God has put his spirit as a seal that guarantees our future inheritance. What does it mean? He has given us his spirit because we believed in Jesus. And that's, I think, that's the different spirit. It's through the Holy Spirit. I'm sure it's not because Caleb really had this specific training and then this specific, not sure, practice. But I'm sure it's because of the spirit that God has given him. And I promise you, if you believe in Jesus, you have that spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. He's the God. He's God. It's not because he's spoken like he's the number three that he's lesser God. No. It's the Spirit of God within us, and God has sent his Spirit into our hearts once we believe in Jesus. And in fact, we wouldn't even believe in Jesus if the Spirit of God did not convince us and put faith in our hearts. So I want to remind you, you have the Spirit of God. And how do we persevere? I think it's still through the Spirit of God. I mean, we would lie. We would lie if we say it's easy to persevere. And we would lie if I would lie, I'm not going to tell for yourselves, but I would lie if I tell you, since I had the Spirit of God in me, I've never had some downs in my life. Lives, it's always been like this, from glory to glory. Hallelujah. No. But who's been perseverant with me? Who's been faithful with me? It's God. Why? He sealed me with his spirit. And I'm sure, like, you'll go back to Psalm 51 when David said, like, do not take away your spirit from me, that you think that when God gave and then you do something, okay, let me take back my spirit now. You don't deserve it. The cry of David is a cry of repentance, a cry of he knows that God wouldn't leave him on his own, but he knows he's done something wrong against God. And the one who's perseverant unto us and who is faithful is Jesus. He won't take his spirit back. And that's why even sometimes, when we lose hope, even the one thing I see is when I sin, must be thinking, not do you sin? I do. Ask some of the people here. Ask my wife out there. And I'm not saying like it's fine to sin, but I confess I sin. I do sin. But when I sin, it's like sometimes you're like, God, maybe just for this week, leave me alone. And even if I say that, God is perseverant. It's like almost every minute. Don't you want to repent yet? Don't you miss me? Don't you think I am here? Don't you need me? And the thing is, I do, but I feel like I do not deserve it, God. I just did something wrong. But that's the Spirit of God working. I'm not saying it's fine to sin. Sin is sin. But what I'm saying is the Spirit of God that He has sealed us with. For that day, He will never take it away from us. Why? Because of Jesus again. Because of what He did on the cross. So I want to encourage us. First, Jesus is the good and better Caleb for us. He went with a good report. He fought for our sins. He went into the promised land. Then through Jesus, He gave us the Spirit. He sealed us with it. And that's who we are now. We are a new creation in Christ. So no worries. Let's be humble. Why are we fighting for positions? Let's just be who we are in Christ. And there's nothing better and greater than being in Christ. Not even being the son of the president or not sure who is your own hero. That's lesser compared to who we are in Christ. So let's humble ourselves from that position. And then lastly, let us persevere. For we know the one that has called us is even working out of time, man. Like when we speak about God being eternity, how long is perseverance? Or how long is God's patience? Eternal. How many years is that? Can't even count that with years. Even numbers is smaller compared to eternal. So God is perseverant and He's given us His Spirit. So my prayer is, we sang it actually, and just I want to recommend the worship team this morning, just the songs that they were singing, speaking about there must be more than this, and speaking about the God's Spirit, and that God's Spirit is working in us, like stir it up in our hearts, the passion for Your name. Then like just over and over again singing about Jesus is greater than our sins. It's just awesome, and it's a great reminder of who we are in Christ and what the work that He is doing in and through us is. So let's just, from that being a new creation, let's see what God is seeing. Let's be humble and let's persevere. And all of that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I ask us, let's stand together. And can you just have a moment of maybe silence or silent prayer? And not sure what's really stuck into your hearts this morning, but let us just have a time and let's really ask God to work in our hearts. And let's approach Him with boldness. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, that You sent unto us to save us, give a new life unto us. I want to thank You for Your Holy Spirit that You've given unto us. You've put Your Spirit into our hearts. And we know we fail at times. We're proud at times. But thank You that Your Spirit that You've given unto us, You gave it unto us forever. And I pray, God, that we'll be open to the work of Your Spirit. I pray that the work of Your Spirit that is exalting Christ in our lives will be fruitful, that will bear the fruit of Christ, that will see what You see, God, that will humble ourselves, not worrying about who we are, but knowing in terms of who You are unto us. Then may we grant us with perseverance, God, and it's not easy as a people. We want to see things happen now. Sometimes we're even guilty of giving order unto You as if You were our slave and we are the boss. But actually, God, you are the boss and we do work for you, and it's a privilege for us to be with you. And your timing is not our timing. The way you do things is not the way we do things. So have your way, God. And keep us in Christ. Keep us in your love. Keep us in your grace. To you alone be the glory forever. Thank you, Father. Amen.